Our addition, our scripture reading comes again this afternoon from the Song of Solomon, chapter 5. And we begin reading at verse 2 until the end of the chapter. Song of Solomon, chapter 5, beginning at verse 2. Let us hear the word of God. I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, Open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. For my head is filled with dew, and my locks with the drops of the night. I have put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I have washed my feet. How shall I defile them? My beloved put in his hand by the hole of the door, and my bowels were moved for him. I rose up to open to my beloved, and my hands dropped with myrrh, and my fingers with sweet-smelling myrrh upon the handles of the lock. I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. The watchmen that went about the city found me. They smote me. They wounded me. The keepers of the walls took away my veil from me. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if ye find my beloved, that ye tell him that I am sick of love. What is thy beloved more than another beloved, O thou fairest among women? What is thy beloved more than another beloved, that thou dost so charge us? My beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. His head is as the most fine gold, his locks are bushy and black as a raven. His eyes are as the eyes of doves by the rivers of waters, washed with milk and fitly set. His cheeks are as a bed of spices, as sweet flowers, his lips like lilies, dropping sweet-smelling myrrh. His hands are as gold rings set with the beryl. His belly is as bright ivory overlaid with sapphires. His legs are as pillars of marble set upon sockets of fine gold. His countenance is as Lebanon, excellent as the cedars. His mouth is most sweet, yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. So far, the reading of the Word of God, the text for the sermon this afternoon, is taken from this last verse that we have read together, the Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 16, just these words, This is my friend. May the Lord bless the reading and the preaching of His Word to our hearts. Shall we sing in response from Psalter number 387, Psalter 387, all of the stanzas.
Thank you.
congregation, there are some things that we need to believe in order to be saved. And our catechism in Lord's Day 7 tells us what those things are. All things promised us in the gospel, which the articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith briefly teach us. This is a reference, of course, to the Apostles' Creed. It's our privilege every Lord's Day to recite this creed, as I trust you do in your hearts in true faith. And as I say these words, let them also echo in your heart before God. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us come before the Lord our God now in prayer, seek for His face, and lay our needs before Him. Let us pray. Eternal and almighty God, Thou who art highly exalted, Thou who inhabitest the praises of men, before whom the angels say, Holy, 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 is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory. We bow down before Thee, and we worship Thee. Thou who art our God, who has made covenant with us and with our children, who has promised to be a God unto us and to our seed after us, and who has promised also the grace that we need to enter into the land that has been promised to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, not the physical land of Canaan, but the spiritual land to which it points and which it finds its fulfillment, even heaven itself. We thank Thee, O Lord, that Thou hast sent Thy Son into the world to be that mediator through whom we can access the riches of Thy grace. We pray that as we have assembled here again this afternoon to hear more about Him, we ask that our hearts may be receptive and that our ears may be opened to hear the message that will shortly be proclaimed. It is a message that focuses on Christ our friend. What a beautiful theme. And what a wonder it is, Lord, that Thou in Thy infinite goodness art willing to become the friend of sinners. O Lord, may this truth also draw us to the Savior for the first time or in a deeper way, that we may know Him and love Him as our friend. O, wilt Thou remember those among us who cannot say that Christ is their friend, who perhaps are indifferent to Him, or who may be even an enemy of Him, perhaps not openly, secretly. And Thou knowest, Lord, all of our hearts. And we pray, send forth Thy Holy Spirit, that He may take Thy word and apply it, each one according to his or her need, and that we may go home with a blessing. Help thereto Thy servant, strengthen him, and grant him clarity of speech, and the unction of Thy Holy Spirit. And grant, Lord, that the congregation may not focus upon him, that he may disappear, that he may become nothing, but that Christ may become everything, and that we may fix our faith and our focus upon Him and Him alone. O Lord, so wilt Thou be with us. Remember also our children and our young people. O Lord, how they need to hear the gospel, how they need to respond to the gospel in their young years. And we pray, O God, wilt Thou work mightily among them, and grant that each one of them may know of Thy grace and may live for Thee. We pray, wilt Thou help us as parents as we strive to raise up our children in the fear of the Lord according to the demands of Thy covenant. And Lord, we so often feel our weakness and our helplessness in this, and we need Thy grace every day, and wilt Thou help us. We pray, remember all the needs in the congregation. We pray for the senior members among us as they struggle with the infirmities that inevitably come with old age. Lord, wilt Thou help them and strengthen them, and grant that as they stand, as it were, on the threshold of eternity, that their eyes may be fixed upon that land that He has promised to give all those who believe on His Son. That they may walk, and all of us, as pilgrims upon this earth, seeking for a better country. Remember those who are sick among us, some perhaps with long-term illnesses, others short-term. Whatever our need, we pray for strength, we pray for healing. We pray for those who have lost loved ones among us, either recently or a long time ago. And those who must go through life alone, Thou knowest, Lord, the pain, the emptiness. Thou knowest all things. But we thank Thee, as we have also confessed, that we believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. What a comfort that is, to know that our loved ones that are now in the grave will one day rise again, and we will see them, and we will dwell with them to all eternity before the throne of the Lamb of God. Oh, what a blessed comfort, what a hope we have as believers in Christ. Encourage us, we pray, and comfort us with that hope. We pray for those in the congregation who had no desire to come to Thy house this afternoon. And Lord, Thou knowest what lives in their heart, and we pray, wilt Thou draw them unto the Savior. Oh, that they may see that the world and everything that is in the world is emptiness and vanity, and it cannot and will not satisfy our deepest need. And wilt Thou draw them unto the Savior, we pray. We pray for the work of Thy kingdom, for the work of outreach and evangelism, for the work of foreign missions and the radio ministry as it may go forth again this day. Bless, we pray, all of these efforts, and draw many from every tongue and tribe and nation unto the Savior. Cause Thy church, we pray, to increase and grow. Bless the cause of Christian education. We pray for parents who homeschool their children. We pray for those who send their children to Christian school. And then we think especially of the Providence Christian School, where many of our children attend. Lord, wilt Thou remember the school, remember all the Christian schools in Thy love and mercy. And wilt Thou prosper this cause, and wilt Thou bless the teachers who teach there, richly anoint them with Thy Spirit and grace. And grant that they may set before our children a godly example, and that they may teach them the things that they need to know for a life of service unto God. We pray for all those who are set in authority over us. Remember, we pray, the Premier of this province and her cabinet, our Prime Minister and his cabinet. We pray for the President of the United States, as the leader of the free world upon whom rests such a great responsibility. Lord, wilt Thou convert our leaders unto Christ. And wilt Thou grant that they may know that their authority comes from Thee, and that they are accountable to Thee, and that they may govern us according to Thy law. We pray for situations in this world which are causing upheaval. We think of North Korea and the ongoing battle of words that is taking place there, and the threats the saber rattling. And oh, we pray, O Prince of Peace, wilt thou cause peace to come upon this earth again. And wilt thou give wisdom to the leaders of the nations. We pray for those who are suffering in Texas and in Florida from the recent hurricanes, and those in Mexico from the earthquake. Lord, there is so much suffering in this world. And we are thankful for organizations like Word and Deed and others that seek to provide relief in the name of Christ. And we pray for thy blessing upon this work too. And wilt thou indeed, Lord, give relief to our fellow men. And may the nations of the world see in these natural disasters the powerful hand of God. And that they may turn unto the Lord and fear him. We confess again, O Lord, our many sins and trespasses. We pray without blot them out in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for thy help as we fight against sin and battle against it. It can become so tiring, Lord, so fatiguing. And the devil is so strong, and our sinful flesh can sometimes be so powerful. But thou art mightier than they. Wilt thou do a great thing for us and help us in the fight and struggle of faith. We pray for the two sisters in our congregation who hope to celebrate birthdays this week, our sister Mary May and our sister Effie Vanek. We rejoice with them, Lord, that thou hast spared them for yet another year, and wilt thou go further with them also in the year to come. Bless and keep them and preserve them in health and strength, we pray. Lord, we lay all these needs before thee. We confess our utter unworthiness of the least of thy blessings, but we plead upon thy mercy and thy grace. And wilt thou hear our prayer as we lay these things before thee in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Response to the sermon this afternoon, Psalter 73, stanzas 1, 3, and 4. Beloved congregation, one of the greatest blessings we can enjoy in this life is the blessing of a close personal friend. Friends like that are hard to find. There are many people who may visit us and keep us company. There are many who will laugh with us and have a good time with us. There are many who will phone us on our birthday or some other special occasions, but that doesn't in and of itself mean that they are good friends. That can be just a friendly gesture. Most of the people that we count as our friends are really mere acquaintances. Because what is a friend? A friend is not just somebody that we can have a good time with. A friend is not just somebody who can laugh with us, who sends a card on our birthday. A friend is someone, something more than that. A friend is someone we can confide in. Someone who encourages us. Someone who can sympathize with us. Who can advise us. And even, if necessary, admonish us and rebuke us in love. But more importantly, a friend, a true friend, is someone who cares for our soul and who cares about our relationship with God. That's a real friend. And it's a tremendous blessing to have such friends. This evening, I would like to introduce you to the best friend a man, a woman, a boy or girl could ever have. When we have him as our friend, we will lack nothing. He is a friend whom the Bible says sticks closer than a brother. He is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We read together from the Song of Solomon, chapter 5. And as we saw this morning, the Song of Solomon is a love poem. And it celebrates the love between a husband and his wife. But it's more than that. It is, as we saw, an illustration of the love that Christ has for his church and his church for Christ. And we see some evidence of that love that the church has for the Lord Jesus Christ in verses 10 through 16 of our text chapter. In those verses, Solomon's bride provides a wonderfully rich and poetic description, physical description of her beloved. She says he is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. His head is as the most fine gold. His locks are bushy and black as a raven. His eyes are as the eyes of doves by the rivers of water washed with milk and fitly set. His cheeks are as a bed of spices. As sweet flowers, his lips like lilies dropping sweet-smelling myrrh. His hands, she says, are as gold rings set with the beryl. His belly is as bright ivory overlaid with sapphires. His legs are as pillars of marble set upon sockets of fine gold. His countenance is as Lebanon excellent as the cedars. His mouth is most sweet, yea, he is altogether lovely. And then she makes this statement in verse 16. This is my beloved, and this is my friend. Here we have the bride representing the church of the Lord Jesus Christ calling the Savior her friend. Now, there's something very remarkable about this. Remarkable because of who this man is. Who is the friend of the bride? He is the incarnate Son of God. The second person of the Holy Trinity. And for that reason, to call him our friend seems a little bit disrespectful. It appears to us to pull Christ down from his exalted throne. What is more, Christ is holy, and we are sinners. How then can sinners call Christ their friend? And some, as they think about it, think that it's even wrong for Christians to sing the hymn, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." Now, to a certain extent, this is all very understandable. There is, after all, a very strong tendency in the church today to pull God down to our level. It's especially evident sometimes in how people pray to God. They pray to him as though they were talking to their buddy on the phone sometimes. And we need to guard against that and resist that. But to say that we must never address God or Jesus as our friend is contrary to the teaching of Scripture. Because several times in the Scriptures, we have a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ and even God himself as our friend. I think of Exodus 33, verse 11. The Lord speaks to Moses. It says, "Face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend." And in John 3, verse 29, John the Baptist called himself the friend of the bridegroom. Jesus called Lazarus his friend. He called the disciples his friends. Jesus even called Judas his friend. And we see that same language here in our text. Several times throughout the Scriptures, Christ is described as the friend of believers and believers as the friends of Christ. Now that's what we want to meditate on with the Lord's help this afternoon. This beautiful theme of Christ, our friend. We'll consider two thoughts. First of all, the need for this friend, and secondly, the qualities of this friend. Congregation, everyone needs a friend. It doesn't matter whether you're young or whether you're old. We all need friends in our lives. The person who has no friends at all is one of the loneliest people on the face of the earth. But congregation, there is one friend that we need more than any other friend, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if we do not have his friendship, if he is not our friend and we are not his friend, then the Bible says we will perish. You say, why is that? Well, the answer is, of course, because we have sinned. We have sinned in Adam. When Adam partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he did so, you remember, as our representative. In Romans 5, verse 12, Paul brings attention to this when he says, "By one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." So when Adam sinned, we all sinned in him. His sin was our sin. And that's enough to condemn us to hell forever. But in addition to original sin, we also add our actual sins, the sins of thought, the things that we think in our minds that are contrary to the law of God. We can think of the sins of word, the things that we speak that are contrary to the law of God. We can think of sins of deed, the things that we do that are contrary to the law of God. And in addition to this, we can think of sins of omission. The things that we don't do that we're supposed to do. And when we think of this, then it is so true what the Apostle Paul says, isn't it? That all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. And that's a serious matter. It is serious because ultimately all sin is sin against God. And who is God? God is holy and righteous and just. And because he is holy and righteous and just, he must punish sin. You and I can just forgive sins without payment, but God can't do that. He will not do that. For God to forgive sins without payment is to deny who He is. No, the holiness and the righteousness and the justice of God must be satisfied. And what is more, the Bible tells us that God is angry because of sin. Nothing provokes God to wrath more than our sin. And the wrath of God is a fierce wrath. It's an unquenchable fire. I've been hearing a lot about fires in the news lately. There are 150 forest fires burning in British Columbia. And we think of the fire that is currently raging in Waterton. What a destruction fires cause. How many thousands upon thousands of hectares of forest land has been destroyed, and property. But congregation, that's nothing compared to the wrath of God against sin. His wrath is so great that it will consume anyone and anything in its path. Because of this, you and I need a friend. We need someone who can assuage the wrath of God against sin. Someone who can effect peace between us and God. Someone who can mediate between ourselves and God. And there is such a one. And He is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and He alone has the necessary qualifications to do this work. For He was fully man, and as man, He could bear the sins which man had committed. But He was also fully God. And as God, He could sustain the wrath of God against sin, so as to deliver others from it, as our catechism says it so well, and to present before His Father a perfect sacrifice for sin, which He did when He went to the cross. There on the cross, Christ bore the full wrath of God against the sins of all of His people, reconciling them to God and opening up the way to everlasting life. But in order to benefit from this work, we need to become His friend. You see, congregation, Christ will not save His enemies. He will only save His friends. And who are His friends? Well, His friends are those who know themselves to be sinners before God, who are convinced that they are nothing before Him, and they can do nothing in order to save themselves, who are convinced that there's only one who can save them, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ, and they are looking to Him, and His active and passive obedience as the only hope and ground of their salvation. And out of thankfulness for what He has done, they are striving to live their life to the glory of God, putting sin to death, striving against sin, and walking in His ways, living to His glory. These are the friends of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you, are you a friend of Jesus this afternoon? Have you come to see something of your sinfulness before the Lord? And has that driven you to Christ? And are you looking to Him as your only hope? Is there evidence in your life of striving to put sin to death and walking in the ways of the Lord? My friend, if that is not true of you, you are not His friend. You are His enemy. And the Scriptures say that unless you repent and believe the gospel and embrace the Savior, you will surely perish. And that's why we need Him. Without this friend, we cannot live. What kind of friend is He? Well, He's the best friend we can ever have. In his book, Practical Religion, J.C. Ryle mentions four qualities of Christ as friend. He says, first of all, He is a mighty and powerful friend. Isn't that true? What did Jesus say prior to his ascension into heaven? He said, all power and all authority is given unto me in heaven and on earth. He has all power. He has all authority. And that means that nothing is impossible for him. He can do anything. He is able to pardon and save the chiefest and the most hardened of sinners. He is able to change the hardest of hearts and create within a man a new spirit. He is able to preserve to the end all who believe on his name and become his disciples. He is able to give them grace to overcome the world and the flesh and the devil, to fight the good fight of faith until victory is achieved at last. He is able to comfort us in distress, times of sorrow. He's able to strengthen us when we are weak, encourage us when we are cast down. He's able to give joy even in the midst of the greatest sorrow. He's able to give patience in suffering and a crown of glory at death that will not fade away. Whatever we need, he can supply, for he is all powerful. He's a powerful friend. He's also a loving and affectionate friend. And he demonstrates that love in a number of different ways. He demonstrates it, first of all, in his reception of sinners. This friend, the Lord Jesus, refuses none who come to him for salvation, however unworthy they may be. Their lives may have been the most wicked, their sins more in number than the stars of heaven, yet the Lord Jesus is ready and willing to receive all such unto himself and to pardon them and to give them new life. He is willing to be the friend of any sinner. He himself said, him that cometh unto me, no matter who he is, no matter what he has done, no matter how hard his heart may be, he that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. What a love. He demonstrates this love also in his dealings with sinners. How patient the Lord is with his people. Often his people sin against him. We go our own way. Isaiah put it so well. All we like sheep have gone astray. That's true not only before conversion, it's true also after conversion. And the Lord is still so patient with us. And he never tires of hearing of our complaints, however often we may come to him. And he sympathizes deeply in all of our sorrows. He's acquainted with all of our grief. And in all of our afflictions, he himself was afflicted. And he never allows his people to be tempted above that which they are able to bear, but always supplies them with a way of escape. And the psalmist says he taketh pleasure in his people, and he taketh pleasure in them that fear him. He also demonstrates this love in his work for sinners. What is his work? Well, we can think of his work as prophet, Christ teaches us everything we need to know in order to inherit eternal life. He teaches us our misery out of the law of God. He teaches us the will of God, that we repent of our sins and that we believe on his name. He teaches us how to live our lives according to the law of God. And he models that for himself. He models that in himself. We can think of his work as priest. What does he do as priest? He makes atonement for our sins. He did that by offering up himself, not the blood of bulls and goats, which cannot atone for sin, but his own precious blood. The blood that he shed on Calvary. That blood that alone is able to wash away all of our sins. And even now, he is seated at the right hand of his Father, and he's making intercession for us. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day of the year, As we come before Him and as we lay our petitions before Him, He takes them and He cleanses them all from sin and He presents them faultless before the throne of His Father in heaven. And then we think of His work as King. As a King, He gathers His people from the four corners of the earth. He defends them from all of their enemies, from the devil, from the world, and from their own sinful flesh. He preserves them also by filling them with His Spirit. He leads them. He guides them. He gives them strength to resist and ultimately to overcome their enemies and to achieve the victory at last. And in all of these ways, Christ demonstrates His unfathomable love for sinners. He is also, thirdly, a wise and a prudent friend. He never spoils His people by indulging their every whim and wish. Oh yes, He gives them everything that they need, everything that is for their benefit. He withholds from them nothing that is good, but He requires them to take up their cross and to follow Him. And He bids them to endure hardships as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. And He calls on them to fight the good fight of faith against the world and against the devil. He teaches us that there's a cost to following Christ. And He makes no mistakes in ordering our lives. He orders our lives with a perfect wisdom. And whatever happens to us in this life, even things that are indescribably painful, that all comes from Him. It's hard for us to understand that. But it's true. Everything that happens, not a hair can fall from our head, except it be the will of our Father who is in heaven. He's got all the hairs of our head numbered. If something happens in our lives that we don't understand and that causes terrible grief, we can believe that it is from Him. And that in some way, in a way that we do not understand and perhaps never will understand in this life, but in some way it all fits His perfect plan. He gives us just as much sickness and health and riches and poverty and sorrow and joy as He sees that we require. He knows exactly what we need. And He knows exactly when we need it. And so long as we are on this side of the grave, we may sometimes question the Lord's dealings and wonder, Lord, why did I have to go that way? Why this? Why that in my life? But I'm absolutely convinced that in glory the Lord will explain it all. And it'll become so clear to us with our glorified minds that it's like a light bulb will go off and we'll say, of course, I understand now. And I see, Lord, that Your way is absolutely perfect. And we will fall at His feet and worship Him. He never makes mistakes. He is also a faithful and unfailing friend. He's a friend who never changes. There's no fickleness about Him. Those whom He loves from eternity and will love to eternity. The writer of the Hebrews says He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. His promises never change. His faithfulness never changes. It's always the same. He also never goes away from his friends. Sometimes that happens. In this life, our friends move away. They move to a different city. Sometimes, children, you're at school and for a while you can be playing so nicely with some of your friends in your class, and then all of a sudden they choose other friends and they leave you behind. And you wonder, what did I do? Why are they so mean to me? The Lord Jesus never does that. He never forsakes his friends. From the moment he takes up his abode in our hearts through his Holy Spirit, he stays there forever. He will never leave us nor forsake us. And he goes with his friends wherever they go. I love what Ryle says here. I'm just going to quote him extensively. He says, when the path of duty calls them far away from home, he is their companion. When they pass through the fire and water of fierce tribulation, he is with them. When they lie down on the bed of sickness, he stands by them. And he makes all their trouble work for good. When they go down to the valley of the shadow of death, and friends and relatives stand still and can go no further, he goes down by their side. When they wake up in the unknown world of paradise, he is still with them. And when they rise with the new body of the judgment day, they will not be alone. He will own them for his friends and say, they are mine. Deliver them and let them go. He will make good his own words. I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now, congregation, when you think of those things, you think that all that the Lord Jesus is, and all that he has done, and all that he is willing to do, could you ask for a better friend? Is that not exactly the friend that we need? A mighty and powerful friend, a loving and affectionate friend, a wise and a prudent friend, a faithful and unfailing friend. There is no other friend like Jesus. It's no wonder the hymn writer wrote, not just a statement that Jesus is a friend, but what a friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. He is the best of friends. I can testify of that personally, congregation. The last 7 months have been the hardest months of my life, and the life of my wife and children. But you know, and I'll just be personal here for a minute, from the moment that I received the news that my daughter had died, it's almost impossible to describe, but as I was lying on the ground sobbing and weeping, there were these arms. I don't know what it was, but I just sensed the presence of the Lord and just assuring me, it's okay. It's all in control. She's all right. You'll be all right. He was the best friend. He was exactly the friend that I needed at that moment of my life. And I want to commend him to you with all of my heart. And I hope and pray that you will seek for his friendship, that you will become his friend if you are not already. And this is what I'm so concerned about. I'm so concerned that there are many in the church who are not his friends. And you may be baptized. You may be raised in a Christian home. You may have attended Christian school and Sunday school and catechism classes, and you may be here in church tonight. And you may come faithfully twice every Lord's Day, but you're not his friend. You don't know him. You don't love him. You're not serving him with all of your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. And what I'm so afraid of, even more than people who are aware that they're not the friends of Christ, are the people who think that they are the friends of Christ and yet are not. Because they don't manifest the marks. There's no sorrow for sin. There's no striving after godliness. There's no love for God and love for his Son. There's no real love for his church and for his people and for his word. You're just living for yourself and you're living for your own glory. You're not a friend of the Lord Jesus. You might think you are. Others may say that you are. But unless you manifest the marks of a friend, you are not a friend, but an enemy. How sad not to be a friend of the Lord Jesus. How sadder still to think that you're a friend when you're not. You know, if you don't have Christ as your friend, you may have all kinds of friends, human friends. But really, you are the loneliest person in the world. Because I'll tell you something about human friends. They come and go. And they're not always faithful. And they don't always stick closer than a brother because they're human. And they're sinful. And therefore they're fickle. But Christ isn't like that. If you don't have Christ as your friend, you have to go through life alone. And you have to endure trials and hardships alone. You have to endure sorrow alone. You have to endure the attacks of your enemies alone. And you have no one to turn to. No one to turn to for protection. No one to turn to for strength, for encouragement and comfort. And when you die, you will have no one to intercede for you at the throne of God. You will perish. And so I warmly commend him to you. And he himself comes to you this afternoon in the preaching of the word, and he says, I am willing to be the friend of any man, any woman, any boy, any girl. I am ready to receive you. I am ready to write down your name on my list of friends that I have written from all eternity. I am ready to cleanse you from all of your sins, to clothe you with a righteousness that will withstand the holy scrutiny of God. I am willing to adopt you as my child. All that I ask is that you come to me as a poor, penitent sinner with nothing in my hands. I bring simply to thy cross. I cling, and you look to me as your only hope and ground of salvation. And the moment you do that, you become my friend, and I become yours. It's not that complicated, but it goes totally against our own natural desires and inclinations, because by nature we are full of enmity towards him. And we want to have nothing whatsoever to do with him. That's the state of our heart. And if we understand that, then we'll also go to the Lord and say, Lord, break down that natural rebellion in my heart. Cause me to embrace this Savior. Let him become your friend. He is knocking at the door. Open the door. For he desires to sup with you, to commune with you, to love you. But if Christ is your friend, congregation, then live as one. Live as a friend of the Lord Jesus. Strive every day to put sin to death, to walk in His ways. In everything that you do, everything that you say, and everything that you think, avoid anything that would cause Him grief. Fight hard against sin. Fight hard against besetting sins, against inconsistency, against lukewarmness, against backsliding, against bitterness, against lust, against covetousness, against envy. Say to your soul when you're tempted to sin, how can I sin against my friend who has done so much for me, and who is even now preparing a place for me in glory? Think much of Him too. Commune much with Him. Read His Word. Study His Word. Spend time in prayer with Him. Walk with Him day by day. And you will discover that He is a better friend than you could ever possibly have imagined. And when He comes again, on that great day, you will behold His face. And with boundless joy and anticipation, you will exclaim with all of His people, yes, He is altogether lovely. This is my beloved. This is my friend. Amen. Let us sing Psalter 73, 1, 3, and 4.